It's 12:06 and time for ArtsCentric Midday Matters here on WBOY. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or get in touch with us on Facebook and post a comment. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio by my lovely partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And it's the first Friday in November, and that means we're wearing our Penn Hollow for President buttons. Theoretical, of course. But we are ready for a first Friday run through local art centricity with the General Gazette's ever-ambitious Steve Penn Hollow, and he's planning quite a pre-seasonal holiday tour, and then he's turning the tables, so to speak, because you, Sarah, and Steve will be interviewing me about Easter Seals, ARC's new Portrait of Pride in the upcoming retrospective exhibit at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. And then in our second segment, it's an early Christmas story he's telling with the help of the Fort Wayne Civic Theater's cast members, Justin Herber and Bethany Schmidt. But first, as we love to do, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip to suggest. That's a sparkling gem among the absolute treasure trove of this weekend's great art centricity you might want to consider. And what's your pick, Sarah?
My pick is a show that's going on at the Brass Rail, which is 1121 on Broadway Street, for those who are not familiar. It's a show that's going on tomorrow, Saturday, at around 10 o'clock. White Liar, they're a band from St. Louis, Missouri, that are coming into town. And getting some really great reviews, so I would go, that's where I would go on Saturday, and they're going to be playing along with Fort Wayne's Illegitimate Sons, so.
Oh, what a nice mix then, too, and also the good slash, a tricky thing about the Rest Rail is that they don't have early shows, or maybe the 10 o'clock is the early show, so one can do many other things and then go for what sounds like a really spectacular evening, yes. I'm going to pre-seasonally go with my pick just like Steve did, because I guess I want to be just like Steve.
Well, who doesn't?
I'm suggesting another early holiday play, and that's an O. Henry Christmas. The Allen County Public Library is also beating that rush, and they're presenting this delightful anthology tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and again next weekend, Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, and there are 2:30 matinees each Sunday. And so it's being shown in the library auditorium. Tickets are $10 to $15, and they are available in advance or at the door. And that's a great way to kick off the holiday season, and wonderful, O. Henry. Who can beat that?
Yes.
I also want to share one pre-seasonal call to arms from the History Center. This is very important because they are still taking entries for their most popular annual Festival of Gingerbread event that happens. That all opens up on Thanksgiving weekend, but you can learn more from their website if you want to actually participate as a gingerbread home builder. And you can also access that on our Midday Matters Facebook page. We've got that posted there. And now to put the rest of the kick in pre-holiday kickoff, it's the Journal Gazette's Steve Penn Hollow at the mic and in the driver's seat. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Well, and how is your art centricity level this month?
Oh, it's high. It's feverish, really. I'm foaming at the mouth. That's how high it is. No, I'm going to ask, this is unusual, I'm going to ask Julia to take off her host hat and replace it with a guest hat. Incidentally, her host hat is the Viking helmet with the horns, and her guest hat is the beanie with propellers.
All right, thank you.
So
thank
just
you
imagine
for
that as we conduct this.
Some people say men never notice what women are wearing, and Steve, you do.
So we're talking about the 27th annual Portraits of Pride sales, and also the retrospective at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. Describe for listeners exactly what you have been doing for Easter Seals ARC for so many years.
27 years.
27
isn't
years.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
This was a fantastic project that was devised 27 years ago, plus a few months, as a fundraiser and an awareness campaign for the then ARC, which is the Association for Retarded Citizens. They were not yet paired with Easter Seals, but so often the folks with disabilities of any sort tend to be so far out of the spotlight. And that's not quite fair. And we wanted to think of something really special that they could share with the city that was the coolest thing. And, you know, bring them right in the front of especially a seasonal celebration. And so we devised the Portraits of Pride. Each year I would draw a local Fort Wayne scene. And I'm a Fort Wayne native, so that, and I love Fort Wayne. Right. And so you can never run out of cool things to draw, whether it's past, present, or future. And so was born the Portraits of Pride, which was always a seasonal holiday card. And later they added the sweatshirt, and there have been ornaments over the years, and of course various holiday card packs and everything. And this was begun as a 4-year project. And then at the end of 4 years, and wildly successful. Again, it's a wonderful fundraiser for them, but even more important, it's the whole outreach and awareness thing, you know. And so after 4 years, well, they were just like all kind of warming up and ready for more. And so then another 4 years, and then another 4 years, and there have been some non-holiday projects as well, which are delightful. But this has carried right on into the 21st century, and it's as you can imagine, all done locally with the help of a lot of merchants and of course patrons and Fort Wayne heads, as I like to call them. It's a very labor intensive labor of love. And I've always been surprised that they could carry it on, especially, like I say, into the 21st century. And I know that once they did partner in with Easter Seals and really expand not only their facility, but all of their programs and their client base just phenomenally, I wondered how long they could continue. And though it breaks their hearts to have to say, well, okay, it's time to say farewell to all and to all a good night. They had to spread the labor out other ways, and so it's a joyful celebration, and so we are celebrating. In fact, not only with a special scene for this year, but also there will be a special retrospective exhibit of all 27 scenes.
That's amazing.
And at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, and that's happening 1 week from tonight.
Have you ever been retrospectivated over at the Fort Wayne Museum
of Art? No, almost nowhere have I ever been retrospecticated, but I do look forward to it. And it's really an honor to be having it at such a fantastic venue, of course. Yeah. We love everybody at the Museum of Art, but it'll also give all of the patrons, all of the long-term, obviously, 27 years of patrons and supporters that are here in the area, because I've got to say, I hear that the cards get sent all over the world, and certainly all over the United States.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. That must be really rewarding to think about that, because I think that your scenes are, they're what people send out to their friends and relatives when they want to say, here's where I live. And so these things are like being, they're being disseminated everywhere.
And often it's here's where I live and where you used to live.
Right, well,
or
exactly.
Here's where your...
Feel
your
nostalgia, you live in Dayton now or whatever.
And I really do love Fort Wayne, and I'm an illustrator and I love to tell a good folk tale.
Right.
I'm very proud about those facts, and so it's just a natural to render these drawings. Do I ever run out of ideas? No.
Yeah.
Between myself and the committees that I work with, no, we always have plenty of ideas, and... of course, it's no surprise to anybody, whether one grew up in Fort Wayne or not, that the even by what do I want to say, by legend maybe, and by a reputation, the Santa Ann sleigh that now grace the Citibank building, PNC, that's always been a perennial since I was a kid, and it was on the original Wolf and Dessauer building.
Sure, sure.
And so that's popular. We've incorporated that a number of times, and in fact, it'll be it's part of this last final, the 27th drawing.
Yeah, and this, and I want to talk about that particular piece of work because it combines, one of Fort Wayne's enduring icons, which is the Wolf and Dessauer sign, with one of our new icons, hopefully turns into an icon, the Martin Luther King Bridge.
Which is a fantastic structure.
Yeah.
And a fantastic public sentiment, and again, something that people have a pride in, which the Portraits of Pride is all about. And also, I think it's the second time, and as I look over, we do have one of the posters, retrospective posters on the wall, which we'll talk about in just a second, I am sure. But several of those, just for fun. This is the third that has the Santa and sleigh,
right?
In a fantasy or frivolous way, flying across the sky.
Right.
You know,
right,
don't bind them to a building.
Right. Right.
Let them go.
Yeah.
But it's just ways to say we love Fort Wayne, and it's really wonderful for all of the clients and the staff at Easter Seals Arc to say, these are the portraits of pride that we share, and we are proud of what we do, and this too.
It's interesting you were talking about these 4 year, you know, that it was originally meant to be 4 years. I remember talking to you about this on the 20th anniversary in the mid aughts, and you were saying that I think this is going to be
that's right. I had
here
for
we
time
are seven
flies
years
and I had
later.
Forgotten.
I think I even wrote a column about how that this was going to be.
It
the
was
last
it,
year.
Steve. That was Truth in Advertising. It was it, and at that point, by popular demand, they went back with the program, and in fact, they had to recommission me, and all of the years that I did work with the art drawings at Christmas time, I had been asked by other organizations, nonprofits, and profits and privates and whatnot to do a drawing for them, but I would never do a Christmas or a holiday drawing. I mean, because they would be competing not with myself, but with my own organization's self. And so when it was designated that that would be no longer, that they were discontinuing at 20th, then I was contacted and did a quick year's worth of catching up and doing scenes for other people, but by popular demand, they went back with that and rerouted staffing and everything else just to accommodate.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes, and now time flies in it 7 years later.
I know. So tell us a little bit about, I think this is a great idea. They've come up with this poster that collects all the images. This is all the images.
Yes,
and this is and this will be available. Where is this going to be available if people want to get this?
The mail order, going to the Easter Seals Arc website, which we also have posted on our Midday Matters page because we have all things happening today posted there.
Right.
You can find out about the opening for this art exhibit, and also you can find the various places where the Arc merchandise is available, including Arc itself, which is up on Coldwater Road. If I can be crassly directional, I'll say it's north of Red Lobster for folks that don't know that on Coldwater Road. Otherwise, a week from tonight, from 5 to 7, everybody is invited to come to the Fort Wayne Museum of Art and celebrate with us this exhibition, and we will have several things going on. The product will be available, including this fantastically beautiful poster, which is done in such high quality printing, and it's in a flat surface, so you can see every detail of every one of the pictures.
It really turned out great. I mean, I'm not just saying that because you know I'm your friend and everything, but I mean it really did turn out fantastic. I think this would make a great. I mean, if you like this project in particular, or if you like scenes of Fort Wayne or whatever, it's a really nice piece of work. They really did a good job with it.
With many of the drawings, they are holiday in nature and holiday oriented and have just a bit of the holiday twist. And of course, if they've got Santa and the sleigh, that's going to tell you that it is Santa's definitely coming. But otherwise, they are not overtly holiday, and in many cases and in many venues, private and commercial and service oriented, they are displayed year round, which I think is cool too. But yes, all of them are done in excellent detailing on this poster. They will also have the prints for this year, which is the large version of the Martin Luther King Bridge with Santa flying across it, and a farewell to all and to all a good night.
Right.
And they will have at the museum on display they'll have prints, a print from every single year, and those will be for sale. Also, there will be the silent auction, as they do every year for the original drawing, will be happening that night, and so there's plenty for folks to enjoy. They'll also be putting out for one last time something that we added in, I think, in the second year of the project's existence, which I can't do the math to tell you when would that. That would be in the 80s. How long ago and far away. They started doing the sweatshirts, which are very, very popular, a winter statement with real original artwork on it. And they quit doing that. Again, that was incredible. incredibly labor intensive.
Sure.
And they resumed that several years ago, and so it'll be the final sweatshirt also, which
That's
will have
great.
The same design on it. Besides being available there, people can also find all of the normal venues mm-hmm. that always carry the Easter Seals Ark Portraits of Pride, like Anne's Hallmark Stores and Ark itself, and the Regals at Georgetown in Creative Framing on North Anthony, and Umber's Do It Best in Wayndale. They're going to have things for the whole season.
Right.
For the first time ever, the Museum of Art is selling the merchandise in their gift shop as well,
great.
Which is really
And they've revamped
a
labor their gift
shop,
so it's
yes.
a place to go. It's a
yes.
lot nicer than it used to be. That's not saying anything against anyone, but yes, it's
always
way
been
nicer
nice
than
now,
it used
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, now it's way cool.
Yeah, it's
yes.
way cool. Yeah, yeah. That's great. So am I going to come back to you next year, and they're going to be like, oh, guess what? It's going to be a 28th year.
Though sometimes miracles do happen at this time of year. No, I think that it simply has to say goodbye and thank you.
Right.
And it's because it's been such a wonderful run.
Yeah.
And I say we've been running on, as you did, 7 years?
Yeah,
yeah, from
7 20
years to
since
27.
The last,
that's
farewell
been on,
tour.
On, I can't say fumes because they have such a dedicated staff.
Right.
And everybody made time to make it work and
sure.
make it fit, but it really is a personal and personalized project,
yeah.
and so I know that they won't be able to be able to redirect staffing
mm-hmm.
and labor to get it done. You know, to again,
right,
yes.
right. Do you know how much? Do we have any idea how much money this has raised? I mean, these kinds of you know, the cards and the other products and the.
Mercifully, I get to do the fun part, which is the artwork.
Right,
and
I don't have to do that.
But I will say, I remember in the first long ago and far away, 27 years ago, the awareness was highly successful, and in those very first days, I think the goal was a new van, which of course would cost less than one does today.
Yeah,
but
right.
they exceeded that goal and that money
great.
Then, and then the next year, I think it might have even been a bigger or a more tricked out van, and
right.
they achieved that. So they've been happy with the fundraising capability of it.
That's great.
And the awareness. It's
yeah.
it's it really takes people. All of the clients are encouraged, as are the public, of course, in season at the various places, and then off season at places like the Three Rivers Festival and all,
right.
to buy the product and share the product, share the love, spread the good word,
right.
you know, spreading the good word for Fort Wayne and ARC and nostalgia
yeah.
and all at one time. It's been a wonderful thing.
That's great. I think between this and, you know, the High Brother shirts that you design and the other thing, I mean, you must go out and see people wearing your stuff.
It's always a major rush. Oh, and or somebody will come in and say, oh, I saw your picture. And the first thing I say is like, was it at the post office?
Yeah, right.
But then finding out that coast is clear. No, it's usually one of the
yeah.
Portraits of Pride, and it's often in schools, in public, all kinds of public places, public halls, restaurants, nursing homes, doctors' offices,
sure.
lawyers' offices. It just makes me feel good that they want to share the experience.
Right. Sure. Have these, now you said the originals have been auctioned off every mm-hmm. year. Do you know where some of these have ended up?
Sometimes I do, and of course they're often people that live here or used to live here, and almost always it would be not this case because it's the Martin Luther King Bridge is very new, but somebody I know bought the St. Mary's because they were married there for example, and somebody bought Lincoln Life because that was meaningful to them because that's where they worked and that's, you know, and that's what where they remember, or that's where they met their present wife, or, you know, some important. The embassy is another thing.
Right.
Also, through the years, it began as contemporary. So the first four were contemporary scenes.
Right.
The next four were retro scenes, things that were still in existence today,
right.
but drawing them in their maybe their heyday
sure.
decade.
Yeah.
And then after that, and then I guess then for the next four, and the next four, and then I'm just doing the math right. Then it was a combination of the old fire hall on Main Street, for example, right. was in its present day, but with the film, we had a band out there. I put a band in front singing and caroling,
right,
you know,
right.
so we could sort of combine ages, which right. is another fun way to fantasize.
Yeah. Well, I think I was looking at some of the images, and I think for some people, especially for someone like me who did not grow up in Fort Wayne, and, you know, it's like the scene of the people around the Wolf and Dessauer mm-hmm. department store in its heyday, that is something that someone like me could only imagine, and certainly mm-hmm. people who didn't grow up when that was.
And I, you know, certainly as growing up in the heyday of that in the 50s, right. I can vouch for, I didn't have to,
right.
well, I could remember, I didn't yeah. have to pretend or imagine too much because, yeah, that was quite a spectacular thing that the Latz family shared with us
right.
through Wolf and Dessauer, you know. That's
yeah.
this is so many different levels and layers of sharing.
Right.
That's why it's been such a pleasure and a treat.
Right. So now, not that you don't always have a dozen things on your plate, but what do you have things now that this is not going to be something you do every year? Do you have other things that you're going to get involved in artistically now? Or?
I suspect that the plate will never be empty.
Yeah, right.
And I hope that there's always some new art centricity to take its place. Yes,
right.
This is a very, and I didn't mention it because I didn't want extra plates full
right.
this season. I did not mention this till everything comes out. And
right.
of course, now that there's the, I do hope everybody will join us for especially the opening a week from Friday.
Well,
just
you have
because
to get,
it's
now see,
such
now, this is what I do here at this. We're getting to the
well,
point
yeah,
where
you
I
ask.
Would say, give us the deets, give us the details here. Everything.
Things will be on display at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art from a week from Friday night
right.
until Thanksgiving.
Right.
And folks can join us there on Friday the 9th from 5 to 7 for an open house. I would be so proud and pleased to see people. They'll get a chance to see prints of all of the drawings.
Right.
They will get to buy any product they might, and I will be special signing things. Often people find me after they've purchased something or been given one as a gift, and I'll special sign a note to them right
That's
on the
great.
Picture, and certainly be glad to do that. Excuse me. The following Sunday,
mm-hmm.
after a week from this Sunday, I'll be special signing there. And then the 21st, I believe,
okay.
I'll be back and doing special signing.
Mm-hmm. When is the trolley tour? Is there something associated with that? I'm trying to think of the date of that.
I am at a loss as to the date of that. I'm embarrassed
oh, okay.
to say.
But they will be able to get your stuff in the mm-hmm. form, because it seems like this would be great Christmas gifts and that kind of stuff too. Perfect timing for that. That's great. She's going to have a coughing fit. That's all right. We'll give her a little ring.
Yes. Well, and this is a perfect time because I need to let you all know that support for Midday Matters on WBOY is provided by Three Rivers Natural Grocery and Deli, featuring organic and locally grown, seasonally available produce, a full-service grocery whose roots run deep, located at Sherman and Spring, online at the number 3riversfood.coop. And support is also provided by business member Christine and Ed Schaefer, the Schaefer team. NIPR would like to thank them for their support of Public Radio. More information on business membership available at NIPR.fm. Julia, Steve, and I are going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll have more Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY.
After a hectic week, get ready for the weekend with the Friday Vibe on WBOI. Hi, I'm Bruce Reidenbach. Join me and Bill Forsyth for the jazz you won't hear anyplace else in Northeast Indiana. Friday nights at 7 on your home for NPR News and Jazz, 89.1 FM, HD Channel 1, WBOI, Fort Wayne.
Good afternoon, I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. Indiana University economists say they expect continued slow economic growth next year while cautioning against looming fiscal storm clouds. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has the story.
Each of the members of IU's Business Outlook panel say the next year will look a lot like the last two, disappointing economic growth as the country slowly recovers from the recession. But IU economist Bill Witte says two sectors, the housing and energy markets, create a little more optimism than in recent years.
Housing and energy provide a base under the economy that I think makes a renewed recession relatively unlikely.
Witte does caution that instability in Europe, slowed growth in China, and the impending U.S. fiscal cliff, a combination of higher taxes and government spending cuts, pose significant threats to his predictions. Indiana Business Research Center Director Jerry Conover says Indiana has recovered better than many states, with job growth in recent months at its highest level since the late 90s. And he says strong job growth should continue.
We're predicting somewhere upwards of 50,000 more jobs to be added in the year ahead. At this rate, though, it's still going to be a couple more years before we finally get back to pre-recession levels of jobs in our state.
Conover says the state's unemployment rate, currently at 8.2%, should come down to about 7% by the end of 2013. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The Indiana Attorney General's office is warning Hoosiers to watch out for scammers who may try to take advantage of them in the wake of Superstorm Sandy. The office urges residents to beware of people who claim to work for cable television companies or internet service providers who phone and ask for bank account information so they can give them a billing credit due to outages caused by the storm. Such requests are often covers for identity theft or fraudulent bank withdrawals. The Attorney General's office says consumers should never give their account information out over the phone unless the consumer initiates the call. And a number of so-called internal polls tracking political races in the state have been released to the media in the days leading up to Tuesday's election. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Stan Jastrzebski reports, pollsters say the numbers can be unreliable.
On Wednesday, John Gregg's campaign sent a press release declaring Gregg's race for governor tied with GOP hopeful Mike Pence. But the second paragraph points out Gregg is still 3 points behind in the survey, which the campaign itself commissioned and interpreted. The release says the deficit puts Gregg within the margin of error, but veteran pollster Brian Vargas, who's worked on both Democratic and Republican campaigns, says error margins regularly get manipulated.
Let's say that their error factor is plus or minus 5 points. Well, what they'll do is they'll add the 5 points to their candidate, subtract the five from the opponent, and then if they're ahead, then they'll release that number.
We trust the polls that we put together.
That's Gregg campaign spokesman Daniel Altman, who says polling from outside groups is unreliable, so the campaign has to commission its own data sets.
The polls that we pay attention to are our internal polls and the poll that they take on Election Day.
Vargas says it's a common strategy to try to kickstart fundraising, too.
Meanwhile, they coordinate it now with email campaigns. It's like, all we need is $10 from you, and you'll be the one that'll put us over the top and all that sort of stuff.
The same emailed press release from the Gregg campaign does exactly that, offering 3 web links at the bottom where those receiving the note can financially support the candidate. And the gubernatorial race isn't the only one where internal polls have been released in recent days. Both Republican Senate candidate Richard Murdoch and his Democratic opponent Joe Donnelly have released their own internal polling, too. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Stan Jastrzebski in Bloomington.
You're listening to Midday Matters Art-Centric here on 89.1 FM. For WBOI News, I'm Sean Beter. Let's get back to the program.
Welcome back to Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI. The time is 12:35. If you have a question or a comment, join our conversation by giving us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm.
And it is First Friday Pen Hollow Pointers we're studying today, and with Steve today, they tend to be pre-seasonally significant.
Yes, indeed, indeed. We have a couple of shows opening up this weekend, Christmas-themed shows, opening up a little earlier than they usually do, excuse me, and one of them is A Christmas Story on the stage of the Arts United Center, put on by the Civic Theater, and it's an adaptation of the movie A Christmas Story, but also the stories that Gene Shepherd wrote that were turned into A Christmas Story. We have 3 cast members
from this show in the studio. We have Justin Herber, who plays the adult Ralphie Parker. We have Bethany Schmidt, who plays Mrs. Parker, a.k.a. Mother. And we have Noel Beckley, who plays Mr. Parker, a.k.a. The Old Man. Thanks for coming, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Now, I've already spoken with two out of three of you this week about this show, but I think you can all speak to this concept is that this is something that is just cemented in people's minds. They watch some people watch it 24 hours in a row every year, and you know, that's got to be daunting when you are sort of trying to put your own spin on something that people are sort of depending on you to kind of keep in a certain vein. Speak to that a little bit if you can.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, there's definitely cut and dried expectations from audience members when they come in. And there's, you know, two things we definitely don't want. We don't want people to leave saying, wow, you know, that was exactly like the movie. And we don't want people to leave saying, man, that was nothing like the movie.
Right, right.
We have to find the balance where some people say, wow, what an interesting adaptation of this that we've never seen before. That was awesome. And that's what we think people are going
to
do.
Right. Now, I want to speak to your role in particular, because you're playing somebody who only existed as a voice in the film, and it was the voice of Gene Shepard reminiscing about his actual past, really. And now you are, so you've got that it's sort of like portraying Garrison Keillor, you know, it's like not easy thing to do. And then you are actually, unlike the film, you are actually a physical presence kind of existing apart from what's going on, but commenting on it and wandering around the story and that sort of thing.
Exactly. It's one major difference that audience members will get, different from the movie. They can see the narrator's emotional reaction to the events that take place on stage, which is something they don't get in the movie.
Right. Now, in terms of living up to or going away from, you know, Gene Shepard's voice was so distinctive. I mean, the minute the guy, you heard it, you knew who he was. You really did. So, you know, what's the challenge there? I'm not trying to make
right.
Gee, thanks.
No, it's,
thanks for reminding me.
Yes, definitely an iconic voice. And, you know, and so there's no way I'm going to be able to sound like him. So why try? When I told you earlier this week, there are a couple instances in the show where I feel like people expect it to be said a certain way, and I'm not going to deprive them of that.
Right.
You know, and so there's a couple of lines in particular that I do the same kind of inflections that he did. Just
right.
Because if I did it any other way, people would say, that's not how it goes.
Right, right. Well, it must be rewarding, though, Gene Shepard had such wonderful language, and it was meant to be read aloud, really. I mean,
very rich.
Yeah.
Absolutely lyrical. I mean, everything flows in a way. He says things in threes when he describes things, which is very hard from the memorization aspect.
Right.
Because he gives everything three adjectives when he describes it.
Right, right.
So
that's great. Now, did you...
We get to say a lot of the same things, and it's very pleasant and fun, but it can be challenging to remember, you know.
We're going to take a quick break here on Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters, but if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 260-452-1185. You remember, you can always email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. We'll be right back with more Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI.
Hi, I'm Julia Meek, and what's happening this week on Meet the Music? Jazzy Piano with Tom Brigham, rock pop originals from Steve Hall, and the smooth indie rockitude of Letting Love. That's Sunday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM, or listen online at nipr.fm, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights right here on Meet the Music.
What can a play teach us about science, morality, and the cost of whistleblowing? A lot, even one 130 years old. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at a new production of the Ibsen classic, An Enemy of the People, plus an update on voting machine technology. It's all on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
For keeping on top of the news.
You're listening to the BBC World Service.
I'm Robin Lustig.
I'm Julian Marshall.
This is Owen Bennett-Jones
with NewsHour.
For finding out what's happened.
They're out on the stage, the protest leaders, still trying to rally their supporters.
And for knowing why it's happened.
They've often then turned to the Taliban as another way of earning a living.
Stay in touch with the world with NewsHour from the BBC.
The BBC NewsHour, weekday mornings at 9 on WBOI.
Welcome back to Midday Matters, Art-Centric Edition. We're speaking with three cast members from the Civic Theater's production of A Christmas Story, which opens tomorrow night. And one thing that you guys mentioned about Justin with the when we were on our break is that he, you get this question. People ask you, are you on stage at all? When in fact, you may be on stage more than any other actor
Definitely.
In the production.
It's
really interesting that that's the case. It's like the exact opposite.
There's no question he's on the stage more than anybody else.
Yeah.
He is just every single scene.
Right.
Like I said, he only gets to get off once.
Yeah, right.
He's
right.
Truly the hardest role of this entire show. And he does amazing.
That's great.
He doesn't
have
anyone to interact with or anything like that. So it's got to be all him. It's not like with me and Beth, we can, you know, talk back and forth and there's an interaction and I'm talking with the kids or she's talking with the kids or cleaning up, you know, Randy. There's no one for him to talk to except for the crowd, which you can't really see very well.
Right.
So that's
he gets to watch all the action, and then he has to react to it.
And that also means I have nobody to save me if I
can't. Exactly. You can't.
On my own.
You can't pitch it to somebody or get them to jump in.
We can't save him. No. Like we can save each other.
You have to pretend he doesn't exist. You know?
Oh gosh.
That's great.
Sometimes we will look at him like,
so don't think about that or anything.
Thanks.
So Bethany Schmidt. Noel Beckley play Ralphie Parker's parents, known as Mother and the Old Man. We never find out what their first names are. We realize that. Tell me a little bit about exposure to these parents comes from the movie, but also the PBS movies that they did, which are also very good, based on Gene's stories. Tell me about your relationship. I mean, it's, you know, you've got this kind of quick to anger, but very funny dad who can be kind of grandiose and you know, have big dreams and that will probably never come to fruition.
Like we always say, yeah, he's blustery.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There are people, you will come across people like that. But he's just so darn adorable.
Well, exactly.
And I've been telling her that for a month.
You've indoctrinated her, and
yes,
now it's worked well.
I know I married up.
Right.
And it was nice.
Yeah. And then you have the mom who is sort of long-suffering, but she knows kind of how to manipulate her husband a little bit by kind of steering him in a little direction.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes is the tree lot scene.
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be so many people that can relate to this because, you know, we go out and we look at trees and he's just like, how about this one? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's not the greatest. And he's like, now let me handle it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then essentially the tree lot owner and myself do all the talking and he just stands there and goes, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I have to look to him.
Yeah.
And I basically make the decision.
Right.
Which is,
She's the brains.
That's what they keep saying, but I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. No, it's great.
And it just reminds me of my husband and I trying to go buy a car.
Yeah.
Now let me handle this. And I'm like, okay. But you know that everybody's looking at the female, unfortunately, because if the female doesn't like it, it's not going to get bought.
That's true. Well, and Noel and I were talking this week about, the fine line you have to tread with the character of the old man. Because if you think about Darren McGavin's performance, except maybe that one thing you were talking about where you thought maybe he was just a little bit scary
scene.
Yeah. But I mean, for the most part,
the liquid plumber one.
Yeah.
And jam it down his throat.
Oh,
that one always struck me as, I'm kind of scared right there myself.
But he never, you know, he always seems, he's never so scary. He's never so angry that he seems scary. It's his anger is always a comic anger. And that's a delicate line to tread, right?
Yeah, so at first I was like getting, I thought I would be played annoyed all the time.
Right.
And Rosie's like, now you're not annoyed with him. You right. love him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I love him.
Yeah,
so
right,
I
right.
just shake my right. head at him a lot. And yeah, like, yeah. oh, pfft, you
yeah,
know.
Right, right.
But go ahead.
Oh, no, you're doing fine. Yeah, it's tough because I didn't want to scare Randy because he's really little and he's right. adorable and he's going to steal the show. Right. I mean, I know that right now. And you know, it's the line where he's, you know, thinking that I'm going to kill Ralphie.
Right. right.
So he's got to think that I have the ability to kill Ralphie right, right. at the same time, you know, all that. But yeah, he's going to steal the show in, you know, in that.
Yeah.
He Daddy's might as well come out Ralphie. On the curtain call last because, I mean,
yeah.
He's really, really, really cute.
Right.
Yeah. And you're going to spend your entire viewing of the show wondering where the heck he is.
Yeah.
Because we don't ever know.
He's always hiding somewhere.
He's always somewhere.
Right, yes. right. So, I do remember
oh,
that.
Oh, I know sometimes.
Right. But, does he eat like a piggy in this?
Oh,
a,
yes.
Oh, good.
Oh,
we
yes.
have to have
with
that.
Oatmeal.
With yes. oatmeal.
Real oatmeal.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, we have oatmeal. Real oatmeal.
That's great.
He has already said he doesn't quite love it. It's cold by the time he gets to actually stick his nose in.
That's even funnier. I didn't realize
so
it was cold.
So one dress rehearsal, I took a bite for him. I said, see, you can do it.
Yeah, right, right. I've seen a lot of Civic sets, and I have to say the people who put this together did a especially fantastic yeah. job. I mean,
it's gorgeous.
You have a lot of period appliances that are, you know, one that really add to the ambiance. And then you have these kind of little set pieces like, you know, I think the one I was most surprised by was the Santa at the department store, you know. I thought that wow, they did a good job with that.
Yeah, Robert, and I'm gonna mangle his last name. Shane, Robert.
Robert.
Robert Shanequist is what I want to say, okay. but I think I'm mispronouncing it very badly,
right.
Does amazing work.
Right.
He did the sets for A Few Good Men, which is the only other time I've worked with him,
right.
and they were just amazing. I'm impressed with what he and Jonathan from Pittsburgh, and I don't remember his last name either. I just know him as Jonathan, but Jonathan's usually the light guy and does great stuff.
The actual script just calls for the kids to go up a stairs and go off stage, and you just hear Santa's voice.
Right.
But Robert decided, well, I'm going to build it, and it's good because I think people need that visual of the kids coming down the slide, and it's
right.
awesome.
Yeah, and if you remember that scene from the film, it's just so wonderfully well done, and they've done a superb job of recreating it on stage. It's just I talked to the actor who plays Santa, who did not want me to quote him in the piece, but said he was just very excited about being able to play this character.
He has been fun. To
he's
work
a
with.
And he's a, you know, this is a scary. You want to talk about scary characters?
Yes.
This is a scary Santa.
This is
not
a
reassuring
Santa.
Santa.
But you're gonna love him.
Oh yeah, sure.
He starts off happy and cheery, but as as the evening progresses, he gets
yes.
more and more irate,
yeah.
and it's
right.
very, very funny.
Right.
Yeah, I still laugh when he tells Ralphie to sit on my
right. right.
And it's just hilarious because it's supposed to be so nice, but it's like, that's the scariest thing I've ever heard from Santa.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Noel, we were talking this week, one of the best, I mean, it's hard to cite anything thing that's the best about the show because there's so many great things, but the fake swearing that the old man does,
isn't he lucky?
Yeah,
I
actually
really
got a look at a page in the script where I think you were down fighting the furnace, and there was this stream of really hilarious gibberish that you're like saying down there, and it's brilliant. But you were saying Malaforpin was your favorite.
Malaforpin is my favorite. I say it right before, but before that, there's Dog Mad Clanky, Sunny Impinge, Domino Bits, Malaforpin, Dog Mad Clanky, Rassa Frassa Fram Blassa Frassa. Who the hallelujah turned this damn spoon furnace down so low?
Don't
it
give
sounds,
them all
it's
of
filthy.
Them.
It's horribly filthy. It
no
sounds
spoilers.
Terrible.
Whiz and wang.
Yeah, right.
It's endless.
Right. It's great. It's great. Do we have smoke coming up on stage when you're fight
smoke.
When you're doing this?
Yes,
see, it has to.
Smoke.
Has to. The clanking and everything is
yes.
hilarious. Yep. Absolutely hilarious.
Does, without a, I don't want to ask a spoiler either, but without giving anything away, does a real dog make off with a real turkey?
That would be hard to do.
We have some special.
We
effects.
Have some right. special behind the scenes. I don't think they're they would want to be called effects. Dogs per se, but they are amazing, and they set it up, and you won't be disappointed.
It looks really good.
Yeah. I think that people can't be disappointed. Also, without asking any spoilers,
certainly.
Are there things that are not in the in the movie that folks are familiar with that you are adding in for some little treats and treasures?
Nothing that we add in, but there's things in the script that
right.
That aren't in the movie. There's the introduction of Esther Jane, mm-hmm. Kind of a female interest of little Ralphie. That's not mentioned.
You don't see that in the movie, but she actually, they have a nice little love triangle thing going on there, and it's super cute. And it's just endearing.
From, I think in God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. That was the book, the collection of stories. Yeah, so I think my understanding is that the playwright went back in and kind of took some stuff out of there as well.
And then I have if I didn't have enough, they kind of added some monologues for me during set changes that aren't in the movie, you know. So
even while everyone else is taking a break, you're still going on.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Why do you guys think this has endured the way it has? I mean, what's your assessment of that?
Who wants to take that one?
Beth?
I
1, 2, 3, not it.
Not it. I just think everybody out there, if you sit down and you give it a chance and you watch the movie, and please come see the show, mm-hmm. because it is fabulous.
Yeah.
And you will not be disappointed. I swear I might mess up, but I'll try really hard not to disappoint you. I'm kind of the quiet one, so you know he's quiet. The big character, right? So, but if you watch it and you will find something to relate your own life to, and I think that's so important. Like for men and boys, how many of you have gone through what Ralphie goes through when you want that one thing? And yeah. and then I was talking about the love story.
Right.
That's why it's so cute, because, you know, he's awkward. He's in that awkward stage.
Right.
He's
noticing girls for
yes.
the first time. It's like,
and of course she's liking him first. Yeah. And he doesn't get it.
And
but and then, you know, just like the husband wife, you know, and then for Ralph, I mean, he's just thinking back. And
right.
how many times do you think back on your childhood,
right?
And yeah. you compare yourself to your mother and your father, and you think about the way they acted sometimes. I mean,
sure.
All of these situations have happened to people at one time or another in their life, in some form, and it's funny to, you know, to have them all kind of put together in one story. It's just a really neat, very very well written in the way that people can relate to having to dealt with these situations, probably when they were a kid, these things happening to them. So,
well, and there's a universality to it, even though you have these period elements. You know, mid 20th century. You know, the radio is what is you know holding young children's imagination, and but there's universal stuff. You mm-hmm. know, the dealing with the bullies and the and the hapless friends that you have. You know, all of them very eccentric little guys.
Oh, and the bully. And the bully. Of, yes. He's awesome too.
So we have a Scut Farkas.
We have yes. a Scut.
Let's see. That's good.
And
he's funny.
He's good.
Very funny. Backstage, he does some great imitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it seems like all the kids. Kids are great. I mean,
they're
I had a
great.
Chance to hang out with them a little bit backstage, and they all seemed they seemed very natural. They seemed like they'd known each other a long time, watching them interact.
I think they have done some things together before.
From
so they had a friendship coming into this, which is nice. But and for all the women out there, I mean, how many times have you wanted to break something of your husband's?
Well, that's a big moment for you, because you do stand up
it's
to him.
It's my favorite moment.
You know,
in
that's
the
whole like yeah,
world.
You stand up to him at that point. The leg lamp, it's like this, you argue with him to this
it's like
crescendo.
A dream come true.
Yeah, it's great. That's a big moment for you. Big moment for you. Major award.
I love the major
award. Much enjoyment out of it.
Really, I do. No, actually it's hard because I love the lamp.
Yeah, sure. Who
so
well
sit
look
there
I mean
and hate it
there's
is
a whole
really
cottage industry around that lamp now. Everybody's Well, Nola's saying he's like he didn't know if he was a fan of the movie, and then he realized he owned one of the lamps and also a string of lights.
Christmas lamps, and we got like all the houses. Walgreens had all the houses that were on, you know, your Christmas ornaments and all that.
Right.
Got little lights in there. So yeah,
I got all this stuff. Right.
Okay, yeah, I've got pretty much everything from there.
Right. It's great.
I think I even have a little Ralphie in a bunny suit on the tree with my son's picture.
Wow, we have that too. That's amazing.
That's funny. But,
which is why we probably tried out for this show is because once I saw that Civic was doing a Christmas story, I'm like, oh, I'm there.
Well, right. Doesn't everybody want to play one of these characters, it seems. You know, if it's feasible, you want to go in there and kind of inhabit this story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way, definitely.
I'm definitely saving up for my own big leg lamp now.
I got one for Christmas years ago, and I haven't taken it out of the box
the big
yet.
Well, now we know.
Now you will.
Isn't that awful?
Is it a little one, or is it a big
one? No, it's a full-size.
Well, I'll just take it from you.
Oh, well, no, don't do that.
Oh.
I want it.
I'll just break it.
No, I'm looking for the right. Yeah, I'm just going to put it. I have to fit it in the window.
Does the box say Fragile?
It doesn't say Fragile, but you have a box that says Fragile.
Yes, we do.
I saw that. I was just you wandering backstage. You're like, oh, and this, and this, and this.
It's
you know,
a great
it's
moment.
Like all of these.
How was that for you to wander backstage?
It was great.
To see everything.
The flagpole. I was like, the flagpole. That's great.
There's just so many things.
Yeah,
you
know, that's
it's
great.
Be great.
Well, I can't wait to see it, and I know that folks are going to absolutely love it. We just have a few minutes left, so a real quick recap and when things are happening. And
I'm going to look over my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read this?
Go ahead. Yeah,
please.
Okay, so it starts tomorrow night and goes till the 18th, and let's see. Gosh, I'm not doing a very good job of this.
November 8 p.m. 3rd, 8 p.m.
8 p.m. on this upcoming Saturday, and then the subsequent four Fridays and Saturdays, right, is 8 p.m.
I actually have the website up. So starting tomorrow, November 3rd, 8 p.m., then on Sunday, November the 4th, we have a 2 p.m. showing. Then next weekend, Friday, November 4th, that's 8 p.m. Then Saturday, we have a showing at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Sunday, 2 p.m. And then the last weekend is going to be Friday, November 16th, 8 p.m. Saturday, the 17th, 8 p.m. And Sunday, 2 p.m. And you can go to fwcivic.org for all that information, where I understand you can also buy tickets and look at a seating chart and find out more information about directions and all that good stuff. So
tickets are selling very well too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people, this is a part of many people's holiday celebration, whether it's on
little
stage
appetizers
or on TV.
Right now, it's just the perfect timing with this story because it's a slice of life. It isn't a slice of Christmas pudding. Well, it is too, but you know, all of that is just fantastic. And thank you for sharing your information today with us. But thank you for throwing yourself into these parts like it sounds fantastically you've done.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio broadcasting from the Mad Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Thanks so much for listening this afternoon. And if you'd like to see this edition of Friday Artcentric, remember you can watch today's show tomorrow at 4 p.m. on Access Fort Wayne's Comcast Channel 57 and Frontier Channel 27. Julia and I will be back same time, same place, Friday at noon next Friday with more Artcentric Midday Matters. Have a good Friday and a good weekend. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.